Everyone knows we need to get our processes and procedures documented and in place. But there's a lot of confusion around this topic, from general understanding all the way down to specific applications. So today, I hope to clarify a few things that really hold us back.
Running a service business can be hard. It is not unusual for business owners in industries like contracting, home repair, auto repair, business-to-business services like janitorial, IT and accounting, and many others to feel overwhelmed by all the priorities facing them at any given time. Between addressing the needs of the customers, managing the employees, figuring out the financials, and getting processes in place, feeling like you're making significant progress on your business journey can be difficult. Welcome to Service Industry Success, hosted by Brian Harding. Each week, Brian will look at real-world strategies for building the business you are dreaming of, while also sharing tactics to get through some of the most frustrating parts of business ownership with a lot more ease. Let's get started.
There might not be any other topic like processes and procedures. It's pretty boring, but we all know how important it is. Anyone who's read a book since 1992 knows they need to make progress on this. Unless you're at the very end of your business growth journey and you're maybe ready to sell, or you've been in business for many, many, many years, we could all make improvement on this. Countless books, TED Talks, business conferences, podcasts cover this topic. And simultaneously, though, there's a huge amount of uncertainty. Unlike other things that we know are important, this one is, people are often just in a murky spot, not knowing what to do next, not knowing what the goal is in some case. Big high-level ideas, not really sure what it's supposed to look like, and specific applications and details. I don't really know how this is supposed to look there either. So today, I hope to really clear out some of the stumbling blocks out of the way. Again, I know this is not an exciting topic, but we all know how critical it is. And there's just so much confusion that it's one I cover fairly frequently. So I want to recap a few things before we get too far in. I'm going to use the movie Sully, which is about the Miracle in the Hudson. If you remember the plane that crashed in, or didn't crash, it landed on the Hudson River after it hit a flock of geese or birds or whatever it was. The reason I use that is that it's a great example, or great illustration, I should say, of showing the difference between a process, a procedure, and a checklist, which we're going to talk about all throughout today. So imagine you're a pilot of an airplane. Before you take off, there is a checklist of things that you must do. Now, there's no particular order these things have to be done in, but you just have to ensure that they're all done. Like, we check the fuel, we check the emergency whatever system. We check off things that we have to do. That is a checklist. So checklist has specific characteristics. And if you're not sure, I did a whole podcast on what's the difference between a process, a procedure, and a checklist. You can go back and listen to that. I'm not going to go into details on that here, but a checklist is something like that. A process is a series of actions, is a good way to put it. And it gets confused with the procedure, which is like a recipe. A recipe, there's no deviation. When you go to make your box of Kraft macaroni and cheese, they don't say you can do this or that. They say, here's how you do it. And there's no deviation allowed to follow that procedure, to follow that recipe. Falling downstairs is a process. Walking is a process. Changing a baby's diaper is a process. It's a series of actions. So one definition could be a series of shorter term outcomes that lead to a final outcome. That is a process, right? Now, process is not necessarily documented like a procedure. Procedure is written down. We follow the procedure step by step. The procedure eliminates spontaneous thinking. We don't think, we follow the procedure. That's the whole purpose of a procedure. A process is just a series of actions. And part of the problem is we intertwine these words and we speak as if a process and procedure are the same thing. And they're not. They're very different. You know, just like all chihuahuas are dogs, but not all dogs are chihuahuas. It's kind of like that. All procedures are processes. Not all procedures are processes are procedures. So it's really important right out of the gate we understand the difference between these things, a process, a procedure, and a checklist. And then we also got to consider, like, on one hand, there's certain things we need to be really good at and really have to nail. And there's also things that we want to make imperfect progress on. So, like, on one hand, we got General Patton saying, a good plan violently executed now is better than a perfect plan executed next week. Meaning, if it's pretty good, let's go. Let's just get after it. And action is the thing that will make us the most amount of progress. versus waiting, not taking action, waiting for this perfect plan. Partly this is true, what he says, because the perfect plan never happens. We never have a perfect plan. What we have now is likely to be just as good as what we have after another week of thinking about it. That's true. On the other hand, a poorly written procedure is worse than no procedure at all. And I mean that literally. First of all, it sets a precedent that procedures may not be followed. Like, it's discretionary whether or not you follow a procedure, which is the opposite of what a procedure is supposed to do. Again, a procedure is supposed to eliminate spontaneous thinking. And it says, this is how we do this thing every single time with no deviation. So if it's written poorly, people aren't going to follow it because it's not accurate. And if it's not accurate, we might as well not have the thing. Or even worse, if it's not accurate, they could follow the procedure, do the wrong things that we would want. We, you know, have the outcomes we don't want. So we kind of have a conflict here. On one hand, Patton's saying, just good enough as go, let's get after it. On the other hand, if we write a procedure that's poorly written, or we put out a procedure that's poorly written, we could create problems for ourselves. And this is one of the things I want to get into today, is making sure we have absolute clarity on this. So first thing we have to understand is we got to know the depth of structure a procedure might have versus an understanding and acceptance of a reasonable amount of knowledge the person doing the work will have. So for example, if you're going to write a procedure on how to install a water heater, and assuming you had a reasonably trained, certified journey level plumber, you wouldn't explain how to solder the copper pipes together. You wouldn't do that in a procedure. Now you could write a procedure that gets into the depth of how you order the materials and all kinds of crazy things and where you store the parts on your truck. Like you could get a procedure for installing a water heater that was 5,000 pages long if you wanted to. That would be insane. Let's not do that, right? So part of what happens is people get stymied because it feels like a procedure is supposed to cover all these intricate details, but you don't do that. You don't explain how to use a 10 key to a bookkeeper. You don't do that. You don't explain how to use the software to the CSR taking the call, the customer service rep taking the call. You don't say, enter the client's name on line 17. You don't do that, right? Which brings us to another point to consider. A training document versus a process or procedure. So how you describe and document things in a training capacity should be much different than how we document our process when a person's already trained. So using the CSR, in a training document, you might say, absolutely, the customer's name goes on line 17 in the dispatch software. But once they know that, you don't say that in the procedure or the process that we're going to follow later on. The process or procedure, we have to have a belief or an understanding that the person doing this task has a reasonable amount of knowledge. They're already basically trained. And if they're not, then we go back and do the training and we get them there. So this is a pretty critical thing. I think sometimes people confuse training documents with processes and procedures, and they try to intermix the two. And they think, well, I want to have a procedure that allows for people doing the job who aren't fully trained. Well, okay, if you're going to have that, then what are the people who are fully trained supposed to do? Are they really supposed to read this thing that, you know, this task, like they're supposed to read how to use the 10 key? They're supposed to read how to do the soldering? That makes no sense. We got to separate training and our process and procedures. Get them trained so that they can follow a process or procedure. We don't want to integrate the training into the process or procedure because it will lead people down a path where they don't use them, which is the opposite of what we want done. We want them to use these things. So let's make them in a capacity or a way that they will use them, right? So we got to separate training from processes, right? Now that we have fully trained people, a lot of procedures can become processes, which makes our lives easier in a lot of ways. Now there's pros and cons to having procedures versus processes, and I'm not going to get into a whole bunch of that stuff. But if we begin with the idea that we're going to separate training out and we're going to be working with fully trained people, a lot of things that we would worry about the details on, we don't have to worry about the details anymore. Where we would allow spontaneous thinking to accommodate variables they will encounter, right? So if they're fully trained, they can make better decisions and we'll allow them to make spontaneous decisions, which we would not if we had a procedure in place. And I hope this isn't going to get confusing. Whoever decided that process and procedures should sound so similar ought to be fired. It was a horrible idea. There ought to be like a capacitor should be one and you know, process should be the other. It should be way, way different. The notion that these things should sound so similar makes this even more confusing than it already is. So I apologize for that. I can't change the language, though. It is what it is, right? So we have fully trained people that allows us to trust their spontaneous decision-making to accommodate variables they will encounter. That means we can have a process and not a procedure, which does not allow for spontaneous decision-making. The alternative to creating, if we don't allow for this spontaneous decision-making, if we don't allow ourselves and our team to use a process, the alternative is creating a procedure which has a decision tree describing what to do at each possible variable. So as they encounter each kind of variable, there's a different, if this happens, you do Y, and if this happens, you do Z. Well, again, that's where we end up with a procedure that's so long that people will not be inclined to pull it out and follow it. So going back to my Sully example, the Miracle on the Hudson, they probably have a checklist for pre-flight, all right? And then they move the plane away from the gate, and they go to the runway, and they take off, which is likely a process. I doubt the pilots are reading a procedure on how to take off any more than you would read a procedure on how to drive your car, or park in a parking lot, or parallel park, or whatever, or ride a bicycle. So they use they know a process to take off on the runway. Now then they take off and they hit the flock of birds. And even though we have a well-trained pilot and co-pilot, they said, what's the procedure for how we land when we hit a flock of birds? And they pulled out a notebook, a three-ring binder, if you've seen the movie, and they start thumbing through it and they find the procedure and they follow the procedure step by step. Even though they're very well-trained, Sully had been a pilot for like 30 years or something like that. Even though it was so critical that they followed the procedure step by step. That's not how they took off and land the plane in a normal circumstance. That's not how they took off in the movie. And that's not how your pilot takes off when you're in a flight, probably. They're probably not reading a procedure and trying to do that. There's bad things that would probably happen if they were looking down doing that, right? Among other problems that they would encounter. So again, if we don't allow ourselves to use processes where they're warranted, we could have a procedure that has a decision tree for every possible variable it's encountered, and it would be so long that people would not be inclined to pull it out and use it, which is the opposite of what we want. There are times where it's absolutely necessary, like Sully hitting the birds. It's absolutely necessary, even for well-trained people, to pull out a procedure and follow it. If we're going to have a procedure in place, it has to be followed to the letter, or like, why have it? And these are most likely to be in place for actions and tasks that eliminate or reduce significant risk. Risk of, you know, your compliance stuff, or like physical harm, safety kind of stuff, data protection kind of stuff, if you're in that kind of industry. You know, whatever our big risks are, our big liabilities, these are likely places we're going to have procedures. If we're going to have procedures, they are followed as they're written to the letter, or we change the procedure. Speaking of which, we need to have a process that we follow that on how we make changes to our procedures when it becomes necessary, which it will from time to time. Things change. Technology changes. How we do things changes. We discover a better way to do things. We get a new software. We whatever. So if we're going to have procedures in place where it's step-by-step instructions, we don't allow deviation, we need to have a process we're going to follow to make changes, because we don't want to have a situation where some people start making changes to procedure and they start doing things on their own and other people are still following the procedure, because that leads to bad outcomes or inconsistent outcomes. Or again, we're in a situation where why have the procedure then? So having procedures is a lot of work. And I'm kind of emphasizing that here, because I think for most of us, we hear that we need the procedures in place, but really procedures are overkill for a lot of what we need. Because again, imagine my example on the previous podcast where I talked about this. Imagine writing a procedure for driving a car 1 mile down a 35 mile an hour road. Like, you have to have a variable. What if a kid kicks a ball out in the street? What if you see a kid? What if there's a stoplight that is a quarter mile away? There's just so many variables that it would be nearly impossible to write a procedure for that. Well, are the tasks your people are doing routinely more easy or difficult or more complex or simple than driving a car 1 mile down the road? In most cases, they're probably more complex. There's probably more variables, or at least the same, right? A lot of moving parts in the things that we do to make money. So in most cases, having a procedure in place is going to be not only overkill, but it's going to be so complicated or so lengthy, people would not actually pull it out and use it like they did in the movie Sully, which we want them to pull out and read the procedure when we have them in place. So oftentimes, a process is much more appropriate. right? If we're going to have procedures, though, we need to have an agreed upon way we're going to make changes to them. We all follow the procedure until we make a change, and then we all follow the new procedure with the change, right? So for most of us who are not in product-based businesses, we're probably going to want more processes than procedures. Processes are a series of outcomes so we can ensure we get the final outcome we want. You don't need to create a procedure that's not going to be followed, right? Again, imagine a situation where you would have a plumber pulling out a notebook to install something like a water heater. That's crazy. Or have a bookkeeper pulling out a procedure on how to do simple things that they do every day. It's crazy. So when we hear process and procedures, we don't need to overcomplicate this. We don't want to create procedures that are not followed, or a procedure that's accurate for a while but won't be updated when necessary and becomes outdated and then not used. And again, we're right back to where we might as well not even have the thing, because having the thing is worse than not having the thing. All right. So sometimes, though, many times, processes are what we need. Not all the time do they have to be documented processes. We can verbally describe how we do things sometimes, and sometimes that's okay. Sometimes, though, we're going to want these processes documented because the stakes or consequences are high enough to warrant that. In those cases, we might go so far as to train them like every single week or every morning for 2 weeks or whatever until they're absolutely memorized. And we have the process in place and everyone 100% knows what the process is. So sometimes you'll have that kind of level of training and they're documented. And sometimes you'll have that level of training and they might not be documented. Eventually, we will want all of our regular actions and tasks we do to be documented. This allows for consistency. This allows for accountability without the owner or the leader present. It allows for freedom for the owner or leader because other leaders lower on the organizational chart have a tool in place that eliminates excuses for variables or variations from doing what we say we're going to do. We have a written way we say we do things, so the employee can't say when the business owner is gone, well, here's how he told me I could do it. It eliminates all that kind of stuff. We leave the leadership team in place with a tool to actually be able to hold people accountable and have consistency without us being there. Not to mention having all of our processes in place and regular actions and tasks we do documented, it greatly increases the value of the business. Now, so again, in many cases, we're going to want these processes documented. Eventually, we're going to want almost all of them documented. But what I'm saying is, in the beginning, when you're starting, you may not have that. It doesn't mean you're failing. It's okay. We'll get there, I promise. In still other cases, though, the consequences are high enough, we want the process printed and signed off or electronically signed off because we just can't chance that they're not followed. But it's still a process, not a procedure. It's still a series of outcomes that we're going to have people sign off and say, yes, I did this, and then I did that, and then I did this other thing. In this order, it's a process, and we're going to have them sign off digitally or with pen and paper that we did this thing because the consequences are so high, we want documented proof and a higher level of accountability from the people that they actually did the thing. And again, we need to have a process in place to make changes to known processes as better ways are found to do tasks. I know this sounds confusing. You may have to listen to this a couple times. I'm sorry for that. The words just sound very similar. I hope I'm being as clear as I can. I apologize if it's still confusing. I'm really trying my best to not, you know, speak down to people, but like slow down my cadence and like say these things in a way that hopefully is adding clarity, because it's one of those things that just, it really stymies folks. It holds people back and it doesn't have to. Also keep in mind, sometimes checklists are fine. Checklists are great. We just don't want to forget stuff. I want to make sure I do these five things, and I'm going to print off a thing or digitally print out, have a thing that says, I'm just going to make sure I don't forget these things. And the order is not important, for example, right? And checklists are great for that kind of stuff. And sometimes checklists are absolutely all we need. We don't always have to have complicated things. Sometimes we do. And again, if we're going to have those things, we got to make sure that they're adhered to. Otherwise, we're letting people know it's like discretionary, which is the opposite we want when we have procedures in place. But for most of us, a documented or well-known process is all we need. And the more mature the business becomes, the closer we get towards selling, the more we're going to lean towards wanting those things documented for a bunch of the reasons I mentioned, like the owner can or leader can go do things other than babysit stuff. The business is worth way more. There's tons of reasons to do this stuff, but we can do it over time. We don't have to have this frantic belief that we have to do all this stuff, you know, overnight. We can make imperfect progress with getting our processes documented. Again, I know these words all sound so much alike. It's not fun to even like discuss this because they sound so much similar. It's hard. But my point is, we can make imperfect progress. With processes, they don't have to be perfect. We can get them pretty close and get going. Like Patton says, better to have a good plan now and do it today than wait for a perfect plan. Processes are like that. It's okay with processes. Just get started. We don't got to worry about where do I start. Just pick one and go. Just pick one and write it and go. And then write another one. And then write another one. And pretty soon you'll see how you like them. And next thing you know, if you just did one a week or one a month, pretty soon you've got a couple dozen under your belt if you do one a week. And you know, I kind of like them to be like this. And my team kind of likes them to be like that. Whatever. Perfect. You don't have to worry about where to start. Pick the easiest ones. Pick the ones that are most consequential. Pick the ones that address your biggest risk. Just start. So with processes, just start. And here's the beauty of processes. You don't even have to be the one to write it. You can teach your leaders, your leads, your supervisors, your managers how to do this stuff, and they can do it. For procedures, though, these need to be as good as we can get them when we put them out. Again, episode 51 gives clarity on what procedures need. There's another episode I don't have it memorized. I didn't look it up before I started here today. Sorry about that. There's one on what's the difference between a checklist and a process and a procedure. You can look that up. I only have 150 or something episodes, so shouldn't be that hard to find. I apologize, I didn't find the number. But procedures must be 100% accurate, and they must be followed completely every time. Otherwise, by default, they're not procedures. Okay, so I hope this adds some clarity. I hope this makes it more simple for you. I think that most people make these two big mistakes. One is trying to incorporate training into the procedures. So they have to cover a wide range of knowledge, which really makes this way more difficult. And the first thing I have to do is like get the training part out of there. Do training, get them trained up, and then write procedures for trained people or processes for trained people. That's the first thing. Second thing is understanding that oftentimes a process, a documented process, a series of outcomes in a particular order in many cases is all we need. We don't have to have a procedure with a decision tree, because it gets complicated to figure out like what level of detail you're going to. Again, you could find yourself explaining to the plumber how to solder copper pipes. That's silly. That's a waste of everyone's time. He's never going to read that thing ever. And you're going to spend months getting it ready to put out. It's just a huge waste of time. A series of outcomes would be much better, especially if they're documented and everyone agrees on it. So first step is just identify which actions, if any, you need a procedure. And you may have some things. And if you do, get that thing written right away and get it 100% right and get it out so everyone knows to read and follow the procedure in every instance it applies. That's first step. If you don't need procedures for anything, that's okay. Start making progress on getting processes documented, which are created with the understanding that people following them have a working knowledge of the tasks and are documented to the degree that makes sense, not to the super detail, but not where we're just assuming like big blocks of things like, what are the outcomes we want, the smaller or intermediate outcomes we want to get to the big outcome we want ultimately for this task or this action or this job or whatever? So keep in mind also, as the business grows, like I said, we want to have all these things documented because nobody wants to buy a job. So one day we're going to have all the routine actions and tasks documented. So this is a marathon, not a sprint, long-term project. I hope this is adding clarity. Give me some feedback if this made it more confusing and not less confusing. Let me know. I'll take another stab at this if this didn't help. Shoot me an email, hello@serviceindustrysuccess.com. I'm easy to find on Facebook. I'm easy to get a hold of. But honestly, I'd love to hear if this helped or if this made things more murky for you. This is a topic that really stymies folks, and I really want to help people have absolute clarity with this because a little bit of progress here is just like huge. And just getting started just gives you some reps, you know, just get practice, just get started, and a whole new level of confidence and comfort will emerge like before you know it. So anyhow, hope that helps. If you find the information I provide helpful, please share this podcast with a friend or colleague who you think can benefit from it. Of course, public sharing is also appreciated. This is a great episode to send to somebody you know who's a business owner or a business leader, I hope. My goal is for this to be one of those episodes that in particular be like, holy smokes, this is really helpful in clarifying things. I hope that's what this was. If this wasn't, let me know. I'll take another stab at it. But if it was, share this with a friend. Make their life easier. I promise this is one of those topics that people have a lot of murkiness around, and I'm really hoping to help give people some clarity on this stuff. So anyhow, that's it for this week, and I'll talk to you all next week.